For this morning, for a few moments, I want to share from this subject, angel talk. Angel talk. The angel's conversation is captured for us in Matthew chapter 28, verse 6, in Mark chapter 16, verse 6, the sea clause, and in Luke chapter 24, verse 6. The reading of the word of God from Matthew chapter 28, verse 6, the angel says, "He's not here, for he is risen, as he said." Mark chapter 16, verse 6, the sea clause. "He is risen, he is not here." And Luke chapter 24 and verse 6, "He is not here, but is risen." Angel talk. Let's pray together. God, we come celebrating your resurrection. We come celebrating your victory over death, hell, and grave. Thank you. Bless now this moment of preaching, that we might see you more clearly and love you more dearly and follow you more nearly. Speak, Lord, your servants are listening. We confess that we need your word that saves, your word that heals, your word that delivers and sets free. We need your word. Amen. The horror of the crucifixion is over. The terrible price for sin has been paid. The Lamb of God has shed his blood, taking away the sins of the world. Jesus died on a cross, lynched by the state. Blood flowing from wounds in his hands and his feet and his side and his head and on his back. His blood covering and washing away our sin, my sin, your sin, her sin, his sin, the sin of past generations, the sin of generations yet to be born. God's justice has been met, divine wrath satisfied. Jesus paid it all. Jesus who did no wrong. Jesus who only helped, who healed the sick and raised the dead and opened blind eyes and fed the hungry. Jesus never harmed. Jesus only loved. He even loved those who hated him. God incarnate, God with us, Jesus fully human and yet fully God. Jesus who for you and for me made himself of no reputation, took on the form of humanity, divested himself of divine privilege and prerogative, and stuck to the plan of salvation, even though it cost him his very life. Jesus willingly laid down his life to pay a debt he did not owe, because you and I owed a debt that we could not pay. And as the old country preacher of my youth would say, he died. Didn't he die? He died. I know he died. That was Friday afternoon, y'all. But now it's early Sunday morning. 3 days later, as the Jews reckoned time, Jesus died on Friday afternoon, the first day. Ended Friday at sundown. The second day went from Friday at sundown until Saturday at sundown. And the third day began Saturday at sundown and continued into the next day, Sunday. That's how the Jews reckon time. You'll recall from Genesis chapter 1, the evening and the morning was what comprised the day. Now it's early Sunday morning, the third day after the crucifixion, and one task remains undone. Through his death on the cross, Jesus has conquered sin, But what about death? Can Jesus conquer death too? Jesus said that he would, that he would rise from the dead in victory, that God would vindicate God's own self in and through the resurrection. But here's the question, can God do it? Zoom into the scene. It's early Sunday morning. All is quiet. The whole of creation waits with bated breath to discover the answer to the ultimate question, can God conquer death in the same way that God has conquered sin? Then in the stillness of the morning, before the S-U-N rises, the S-O-N rises. Hallelujah, Jesus arose. He arose from the dead, but only heaven bears witness to this truth. The battle is fought. The victory is won. Jesus has redeemed humankind and delivered the captives of ages past from Abraham's bosom to mansions in glory. Sin has been conquered. Check. Victory has been snatched from the grave. Check. But yet, there is no voice on earth to proclaim the good news of Jesus' victory and vindication. God did it. Jesus is alive. But who's going to tell it? The remaining 11 disciples are still reeling from the traumatic events of Friday afternoon. The truth is that all of them are in hiding, in fear for their lives. A few of Jesus' more courageous followers, a crew of women, have decided to go to the tomb to at least give Jesus a proper burial. They've met up to prepare the oils and the spices so that they can anoint Jesus' body, his dead body, his corpse. As the women meet up in Jerusalem and get ready to go to the sepulcher, as they meet perhaps at Mary's house to get things together, in my sanctified imagination, I can hear and see another meeting in heaven. A meeting between God and the heavenly host. In my sanctified imagination, I hear God telling the angels, the work is done. Mission accomplished. Jesus is alive and well. The only thing is I need one or two of y'all to run down to Jesus' tomb before Mary and the other women get there. I need you to run down to the tomb and let them know about the resurrection. Run down there and roll away the stone so that they can see inside and tell them to tell the rest of the disciples to meet Jesus in Galilee. That's all, angels. Meeting adjourned. Having given instruction, God leaves the angels to their own devices. After all, the angels have been running messages between heaven and earth for millennia. God walks out of the conference room, and I hear one of the archangels speaking. The archangel says, "All right, y'all, you heard the boss. What should we say to the women? How should we share this good news?" One of the angels in attendance chimes in. He says, "Well, we'll need to keep it simple. You know how those humans get. when we show up and begin to talk to them. Yeah, show you right. The archangel says, since we're meeting them at the tomb, why don't we just tell them the obvious? He's not here. He's risen. We'll deliver the good news, then send them on their way to meet Jesus in Galilee. Of course, knowing Jesus, he'll probably show up before they make it to Galilee. But yeah, he's not here. He's risen. That's the main thing. That'll be our message. So let's get that stone moved, y'all, so the disciples can see inside. And when the women arrive, we'll tell them the good news. Each of the synoptic gospels, Matthew, Mark, and Luke, tells a version of the story of the women and the angelophony at the tomb. The details differ as to which women went, as to what happened to those Roman soldiers who were guarding the tomb, as to whether there was one angel or two, or as to whether the angel or angels was or were seated on the massive stone outside of the tomb or were seated on the inside. And well, I suppose that's the nature of having three different reporters reporting on the same story. Perhaps it is a matter of story editing or camera angles. I don't know, but Matthew, Mark, and Luke all agree on what the angels said. The angel said, he is not here, he's risen. That's angel talk, y'all, and angel talk would become the cornerstone of our faith. He is not here, he is risen. Listen to the angel talk. He's not here. He's risen. What does it mean that Jesus is risen from the dead? What is the significance of the message that the angel or the angels gave to those courageous women who then shared it with the rest of the disciples, who then passed it down across the generations to you and to me? This morning, I want to approach the answer to the question by dissecting the message itself. He's not here. He's risen. I want to submit that the meaning and the significance of Jesus's resurrection may be found in the angel's simple proclamation. Everything we need to know about the good news is found in the angel talk. He's not here. He's risen. Join me in the angel talk. I propose that we ask ourselves three investigative questions to guide our inquiry. You already know what they are. Who? What? Where? What's the meaning and the significance of the resurrection? It is found in the truth that he's not here. He's risen. Who? What? Where? The answer to who is he. The answer to what is addressed by the principal verb is. And the answer to where is two-pronged, not here, risen. Join me in the text, in this angel talk, and rediscover with me the meaning and the significance of Jesus's resurrection. He's not here. He is risen. The angels are talking, and they're talking to you and to me. The proclamation of the resurrection begins by telling us who. It begins with the personal pronoun, he. Obviously talking about Jesus. Like us, the women at the tomb knew the He of whom the angels spoke. They knew Jesus. They knew who Jesus was. Those women who would become the first evangelists had intimate knowledge of Jesus, of who Jesus had revealed Himself to be. He is not here. He is risen. Who? Jesus, their teacher, their friend, their healer, their Lord, their Savior, their brother. He is not here. He is risen. Angel talk reminds us in the first instance that Jesus is knowable. He reminds us that we may know and experience Jesus in a personal way. We too can know Him as Savior and Lord and Keeper and Provider and Shepherd and Guide. Yes, we can know Him, He, Jesus, who is risen. And because Jesus is Himself God, that means that God is knowable too. God has revealed God's self to us in Jesus Christ. To know Jesus, to know the He who is risen, is to know God. God who has revealed the depth of God's love for us in Jesus. God who pursued us relentlessly across eons and ages down through 42 generations in spite of our sin. God is determined to reach out to us, to humankind. To know Jesus is to know God and to know how much God cares for us. Savior, Lord, our God. That's the who of the resurrection, and His name is Jesus. He is risen. But angel talk goes beyond the who and also speaks to the what of the resurrection's significance. The what of the resurrection's significance is captured for us through the use of the verb is. He is not here. He is risen. You see, the verb is the quintessential verb of being. To say that someone is to say that the subject, in this case, the who, Jesus, that the subject is real, not fake, not fantasy. Is reminds us that Jesus and therefore His resurrection is the real deal. That Jesus' resurrection is a substantive event because Jesus Himself is. And well, focusing on the isness of Jesus and His resurrection helps us to better understand the reality of God's isness. God's formal name, Yahweh, Jehovah, means I am that I am. God is. God is the being whose very essence is being. That means God bees everywhere. Being is who God is. God is the essence of being. God is a complete sentence. Jesus reminds us in and through the resurrection that God is. God is. You can just fill in the blank. God is. The reality of the great I am's isness is that God is whoever and whatever God needs to be. That's the promise resident in angel talk. He is not here. He is risen. He is. God is. Jesus is. Jesus is. In fact, Jesus refers to Himself in the book of Revelation according to His isness. Jesus declares that He is the one who is and who was and who is to come. The angel talk that reminds us He is says to us that the reality of Jesus and His resurrection is eternally true. It's an ever-present reality. Because of the resurrection, we have the assurance of Jesus' eternal is-ness. Jesus' eternal and ongoing presence with us. It's a presence that ensures we'll have everything we need. Why? Because He is. He's not here, He's risen. He is, His presence is with us. And that leads us to the aspect of the angel talk that addresses the where of the resurrection. Two parts now, not here and risen. It's a dual statement. He is not here. He is risen. Both these statements taken together can help us better understand the significance and the meaning of Jesus' resurrection. Not here. The fact that the angel said Jesus is not here means that everything has changed because of the resurrection. What once was no longer is. Jesus' resurrection from the dead has changed the game. It's flipped the script. The resurrection itself calls for a total reorientation. The resurrection says that what looked to have been an ending is not. By God's power, the period has been changed into a comma. That He is not here means that life continues even beyond death. And it's all under God's power, direction, and control. Not here reminds us of the futility of seeking the living among the dead. There's nothing to see in life's graveyard. Nothing to see because Jesus is not here. That's why the angels ask, why are you seeking the living among the dead? The resurrection reminds us to move on. The resurrection reminds us not to get stuck at the point of human expectations and human limitations, because God is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we could ask or think. The resurrection reminds us that with God, all things are possible. He's not here reminds us to stop looking where God is not and look for where God is. And that brings us to the second prong of the angel's talk. He's risen. The where of the resurrection is not fully answered by leaving us with the statement of where Jesus is not. So angel talk also lets us know where He is. He's risen. Risen is Jesus' state of being now and forever. Jesus is risen, eternally risen. Wherever you go, whenever you go, you will discover that Jesus is risen. He's risen emphasizes Jesus' omnipresence. Jesus is at all times and in all places. And Jesus is in all places at all times. That means wherever you go, whenever you'll go, you'll find Jesus, and you'll find that He is risen. That Jesus is risen is the evidence of God's work, a work that is completed now and forever. And don't miss the truth that Jesus' resurrection has profound implications for each of us personally. Jesus is risen, and because He is risen, you too shall rise. Because Jesus got up, we can get up. To say that Jesus is risen is to say that Jesus is alive, and because he lives, abundant life is ours. Jesus came for us. Jesus came to us. Jesus suffered for us. Jesus died for us, and Jesus rose for us, all so that we might have life and have it more abundantly. The fact that Jesus arose means that we too shall arise. Jesus rose in power and in victory, and the promise of God to you and to me is that we too shall rise and live in victory. Jesus' resurrection assures our resurrection, and Jesus' victory ensures that we will have victory. Listen, because Jesus kept his promise and conquered all, even death, we too shall conquer death. Come here, David, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Jesus is ever present with us, with those who believe. He's present with us. He's risen and present. Therefore, we can testify, I serve a risen Savior. He's in the world today. I know that he is living no matter what people say. I see his hand of mercy, and I hear his voice of cheer. And just the time I need him, the risen Savior is always near. He lives. He lives. Christ Jesus lives today. You ask me how I know he lives. He lives within my heart. He's risen. He's not here. It's angel talk, and it forms the cornerstone of the Christian faith. Jesus is not where they thought he would be. COVID-19 has reminded us that he is not here in church buildings. He's risen, available everywhere, available to all. He's not here. He's risen. Angel talk reminds us that Jesus is alive. An empty grave is there to prove my Savior lives. And because he lives, I can face tomorrow. Because he lives, all fear is gone. Because I know he holds the future. Life is worth living. Just because he lives. Angel talk echoes down the corridors of time, reminding us he is not here. He is risen.